I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show. I am Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. I hope you enjoyed the first in my series on cancer and the last show, which was on nutrition and cancer. This show will focus on breast cancer and includes four cancer survivors who used a variety of interventions. Breast cancer is the second most common diagnostic type of cancer in the United States and the most frequent among women. In 2008, 182,460 new cases of invasive breast cancer and 67,460 new cases of non-invasive breast cancer were predicted. Currently, the incidence of breast cancer in the United States is 1 in 8 women, which is about 13%. In addition, about 1,990 new cases of invasive breast cancer were predicted in 2008 in men, who make up about 1% of all breast cancer patients. The incidence of breast cancer decreased by 3.5% per year between 2001 and 2004, and one theory is that the decrease is a result of the reduced use of hormonal replacement therapy following a large study that found a relationship between this therapy and breast cancer. One of our survivors on this show had hormonal replacement therapy before the onset of her breast cancer, and she identified this as a causal factor. The combination of risk factors for breast cancer includes some you can alter and some you cannot: age, gender, heredity, gene mutation, and early onset of menopause are some factors you probably cannot alter. However, hormonal replacement therapy for symptoms of menopause, regular use of alcohol, smoking, obesity, lack of exercise, and exposure to pesticides and other pollutants are things you can reverse to decrease the risk of breast cancer. The majority of breast cancer patients use conventional treatment, sometimes supplementing these with conventional care. For example, in one study of 473 breast cancer patients who had received surgical interventions in the year of diagnosis, just over 16% had used complementary therapy after cancer diagnosis, and almost 9% used them before the diagnosis. The most common used were homeopathic, manual healing methods, herbal medicine, and acupuncture. The main reason for using these therapies was physical distress. 2/3 of the users said they would recommend them to others. Another study shed light on why complementary medicine is sought by some breast cancer patients. In a series of articles written by 2 MDs and 1 OMD, they stated, "Despite advances in screening, surgery, adjuvant radiation, and systemic therapy, and novel biological targeted therapies, there are limitations to their benefits, especially in advanced disease. Complementary therapies, including oriental medicine, have enjoyed a growing popularity as a less invasive and more natural approach to achieving health and improving quality of life. Thus, at the very least, complementary medicine is used to alleviate or reduce symptoms produced by the conventional interventions of surgery, radiation, and chemotherapy. The traditional treatment for breast cancer is surgery, ranging from a lumpectomy to total mastectomy, depending on the size and invasiveness of the tumor. This is often followed by radiation and chemotherapy. These interventions disturb the body and may cause anemia, fatigue, nausea and vomiting, hair loss, skin irritation, constipation and diarrhea, taste impairment, loss of appetite, infection, numbness and tingling, and difficulty sleeping. Some products that will reduce these symptoms include, for nausea and pain, try acupuncture and hypnosis. Or for nausea, use ginger and caraway seeds. For vomiting, try yogurt, sucking on an ice cube, or ginger in the form of ginger ale or ginger tea. For fatigue, try a walk, exercise, a daily multivitamin, or take coenzyme Q10. For weight loss or lack of appetite, Dr. Quillen, a doctorally prepared nutritionist who was on the show last time, suggested his Dragon Slayer Shake, found on page 152 of his book. It is a combination of liquid, either fruit, vegetables, milk, or ice, and protein in powder form, vegetables, thickening agents such as gelatin or frozen bananas, and other ingredients. For insomnia, melatonin is a good solution. For diarrhea, try glutamine, Pepto-Bismol, blueberries, yogurt, or probiotics. And for anemia, try liver extract, B12, B6, and chelation iron supplements. Other natural treatments for side effects of conventional treatment are identified in Dr. Quillen's book or in Dr. Lise Alschuler's book titled The Definitive Guide to Cancer, among others. There are also natural products and supplements you can take to increase the effectiveness of conventional treatment and also to build up your immune system to facilitate a quicker return to normal. Dr. Quillen's book discusses many of these interventions. Beyond these interventions, there are a variety of mental and spiritual interventions such as meditation, prayer, visualization, affirmations, and others that are used by many individuals and some cancer institutions. My four breast cancer survivors tonight also used a variety of interventions, and we will now hear how they overcome cancer. My first guest is Carolyn Gross, who was diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer in 2003. She is a speaker, facilitator, patient advocate, and author of 2 books, Staying Calm in the Midst of Chaos and Treatable and Beatable, Healing Cancer Without Surgery. She was host of the Inspire Talk Radio Show and formerly a craniosacral therapist. Her clients have included the Betty Ford Center, Hilton Hotels, and Scripps Health Foundation, among others. More information is available at www.treatableandbeatable.com or www.carolyngross.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Carolyn, and I look forward to an interesting discussion with you.
I do too.
Thank you. Tell me first how you found out you had cancer and what factors you think caused it.
Well, I was having annual mammograms because both of my grandmothers had had breast cancer. However, the way that I discovered that I had cancer was I woke up in the middle of the night in a very awkward position, and my hand was at the base of my breast, right on the tumor.
Mm.
And so I really thought I was dreaming because I'm having this dream that my breast feels like a rock. And then slowly but surely I awakened to find out that I have indeed discovered a lump in mm-hmm. my breast. So it didn't even start out for me, Carl, the normal way.
Mm-hmm.
I then had to go to the medical community and tell them, I have a problem here. We have to do some tests,
mm-hmm.
you know, rather than them finding and calling me and saying something looks abnormal.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to be proactive right at the get-go.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think caused the tumor?
Well, that's always a great question, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
As if we could have some kind of crystal ball that would let us know, because I was already a health advocate. I was working as a craniosacral therapist.
Mm-hmm.
And I was already practicing a clean diet and a clean lifestyle without alcohol or tobacco or any kind of drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And so all I know is probably stress.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing I can really say, yeah, guilty, you know, taking on too many clients, taking on too much of their stuff and not setting good boundaries, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of breast cancer women eventually feel like we carry part of the weight of the world on our shoulders.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And a lot of us are women that people feel they can go to and, you know, kind of just either get us to do things or to bring their problems to us. I've met this over and over again with
mm-hmm.
breast cancer survivors.
Mm-hmm. Now, you said that you had breast cancer, and what was your prognosis?
Well, I was diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer, and initially I was given actually no choice but
mm-hmm.
a complete mastectomy
mm-hmm.
with full courses of chemotherapy and radiation.
Mm-hmm.
I never did get to find out what full courses meant. I instinctively felt like, you know, I think I can beat cancer, but I'm also kind of feeling like this treatment might kill me.
Mm-hmm. So what was your treatment regime?
Well, because I was given, quote unquote, no other option but a complete mastectomy when my husband was begging the surgeon, can't we maybe shrink the tumor first
mm-hmm.
and then maybe do a lumpectomy, I had to go elsewhere. I'd been studying and dabbling in alternative and natural healing for years.
Mm-hmm.
So if I wanted to save my breast, which really became something important to me, because as a cranial sacral therapist, one of my mantras when I was working with my clients was they would come in pain, and it seemed like a lot of times surgical solutions were being offered. And I would say to them, hey, that's fine, but make surgery your last resort.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a permanent solution to a temporary problem.
Mm-hmm.
So having said that mantra for 10 years, you can imagine that when I'm only given one choice but a mastectomy,
right.
I come home, I take off my top, try to imagine what I'm going to look like with just one breast, and that
or maybe none.
Or maybe none, thank you, Carl.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden that mantra comes to me, make surgery your last resort.
Mm-hmm.
So I realize I've got to go find something, if it's out there, that's non-surgical.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I did research and found immunotherapy
mm-hmm.
and a cancer vaccine. And the cancer vaccine was designed to educate my own immune system to do two things, weaken the cancer cells and then boost up and educate the killer T and the B cells so they would know we've got a problem on board ship.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had a cancer vaccine in 2003 and healed stage 3 breast cancer without any, and I have to almost underline that, any surgery, no lumpectomy,
mm-hmm.
no little slice or dice taken anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And that was 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you use any mental, spiritual activities?
From the get-go, all throughout, psychoneuroimmunology, I'm sure you talk about that on your show, very important for the brain, psycho, to dictate to the nervous system, neuro, immunology, immune system, that we can indeed beat cancer, because that was the mindset. I had to have that mindset. Remember I told you initially my inkling was, I think I can beat cancer, but this treatment feels like it might kill me.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you use some spiritual? Are you into prayer, meditation?
Absolutely, and for years. You know, again, I don't think anybody does hands-on work and healing work
mm-hmm.
with others that don't have some type of a meditative practice, yoga
mm-hmm.
practice, Tai Chi, Qigong. Oh, there's all different practices out there.
Right, right.
So I had, of course, been trying to quell my own storms of duality, shall we say, and have a connection of peace to the source.
Mm-hmm.
And that had been a quest for years for me.
Right.
What I can say about cancer is that the cancer experience,
mm-hmm.
I call it an experience.
Mm. That's good.
And that right away shifts the mindset. But mm-hmm. in the cancer experience, I found that I had to really go further and deeper in my spiritual quest, and I bet that's something you find with everybody,
right,
isn't it, girl?
Right, right.
We deepen. Well, and you know, you asked me what I thought my factor was, and I said stress.
Mm-hmm.
So what do these, if you want, you know, spiritual pursuits of prayer and meditation and
mm-hmm.
also kind works,
mm-hmm.
what do these activities do for us? They de-stress us. They calm us. They make
right.
us more peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
So therein lies your healing, right?
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Yep.
And which of these interventions do you continue at this point?
All of the above.
Oh, yeah, good.
I mean, I do yoga. I've had a practice for probably 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely attempt to meditate every day, and I would say I'm almost there.
Mm-hmm.
6 out of 7 ain't bad.
Right, right.
And then I also take calls from cancer patients from all over the country and all different cancers. I don't just work with breast cancer
mm-hmm.
because immunotherapy and the treatment that I have
mm-hmm.
is successful with all different cancers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying 100% successful, but I'm saying if there's success with all different types of cancers.
Right.
So I have to pray for a lot of people. As a matter of fact, my prayer list has at least doubled, if not tripled, since I got into patient advocacy. Wouldn't you agree?
But that's good.
Isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's sad that that many people need the experience of going through this, but it's good that they have a support system somewhere.
Exactly.
And a support system that looks at this in the way that you look at, like, for example, when I had lung cancer 33 years ago, my mother said, well, why don't you just do what the doctor wants you to do, which was surgery and chemotherapy, and then you can do these other things. My colleagues on the nursing faculty wouldn't talk to me about anything, and so I didn't have as big a support system as I should have maybe had, but I had one dear friend in my Search for God group that supported me 100% and was available round the clock if I needed to talk with someone. So the support is very good. So it's good that you're there for a lot of people around the country.
Well, and look at how ahead of your time you were. I mean, 33 years, my hat is off to you. So what a blessing for me this morning to be on the line with you and here. You've survived 33 years because I don't think we appreciate how every time we pick up something that says this is fatal or we get some type of bad news from
right.
the doctor,
right.
how deeply that goes in cellularly.
Right. Well, it's interesting because I talked with the person that was so supportive of me during this whole process recently, and we were talking about all of the changes coming about in the world.
Yes.
And how we're moving toward 2012, which I
yes.
see as a period of enlightenment, not
uh-huh.
the end of the world, but the end of the world of money, greed, power, and so forth, and
right.
a world that will be filled with people who are concerned about other people. And
yes.
she said, as others have said, and before you can bring in the new, you have to get rid of the old. And that is what is happening now. And then she said, which was a shock to me, you were one of the people helping to bring in the new, because she said when you had cancer 33 years ago, you were talking about alternative ways of dealing with this. And she said this bringing in the new is in every field, not just the political, the social and all, but it's every field of endeavor. So I hadn't thought of it in that way before.
Well, again, it's just like 33 years ago. Oh, my goodness. I mean, even 6 years ago, I had people looking at me like I was green when I told
right.
them that I
right.
wasn't going to have a mastectomy. I can only imagine,
mm-hmm.
especially you being in the field of
right.
nursing, what
mm-hmm.
people were looking at you and thinking, you're educated and you're doing what?
Right. Right.
So congratulations.
Right. Do you have some final statements for the public in terms of cancer that you would like to make, Carolyn?
Absolutely. I think that people have to continue to do research on ways to build their immune system once the treatment is over, no matter what the treatment is that they choose.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that surgery is the best resort for some people.
Mm-hmm.
It's a matter of what you're in alignment with.
Right.
And so
right.
That's why when I talk to patients, I tell them, you've got to claim your power. Remember how I described the surgeon as almost the dictator
right.
on that
right.
first meeting?
Mm-hmm.
That's not appropriate. I mean, at the best, it's a team sport,
right.
you know, healing.
Mm-hmm.
You're a team member with your doctor. You're inside the body. He's not.
Right.
So you have to be giving that constant feedback. It's like a dance.
Mm-hmm.
And so besides that, I think you have to have practices like, do you do things like ionic foot baths and
mm-hmm.
having rituals where you're detoxifying the large major organs of the body, of
mm-hmm.
elimination,
mm-hmm.
the skin, the colon, the kidneys, the bladder. These are the ways that we get rid of waste and pollution in our body.
Right, right.
And I even have done research, which I'd love to tell your listeners about, just to find out what are the best products. So my website is treatable and spelled out beatable.com.
Mm-hmm.
Treatable and beatable. And I've done research. Like, if people don't know what an ionic foot bath is, I've already found out the best in the country is Aqua Detox,
mm-hmm.
as far as I'm concerned. So those kind of resources
mm-hmm.
are on my website. My
mm-hmm.
doctor who uses immunotherapy, his cancer center is on my website. And again, just things like organic foods are paramount. So I do encourage
mm-hmm.
people to continue to be. One thing is this. Once you've been through cancer, you know this. You have to be vigilant about your health.
Right.
That's the red road you're now on.
Mm-hmm.
Continue to connect with like-minded people, and that's why it's a pleasure to be with you today. I also
mm-hmm.
have a toll-free number I can throw out.
Mm-hmm. Good.
It's 1-866-246-0462. And I have teleseminar programs for survivors. The recent cancer wellness program is called Born to be Healthy. What do you think? Is that a statement?
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I appreciate this very much, Carolyn, and I am happy that you were able to come and talk with me today.
Can I give you that number again?
Mm-hmm.
It's 866-246-0462.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. My second guest is Linda Anderson, who was diagnosed with breast cancer 7 years ago and used a combination of surgery and Chinese medicine. She and her husband, Alan, author a series of popular books about the benefits of human-animal companionship, available through their website, www.angelanimals.net. In addition, they are pet experts, speakers, and founders of the Angel Animal Network. They donate a portion of their proceeds from their work to animal rescue organizations and also fundraise for them. Linda wanted to let others know about her Chinese medicine man, Dr. David Liu, and more information can be found on his website, www.drdavidliu.com. More information can be found on Linda on the Angel Animal website. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Linda, and I look forward to an interesting discussion with you.
Great to be with you.
Thank you. Tell me how you found out that you had cancer and what you think caused it.
Well, I had a routine mammogram, and that's when I found out that there was some type of a mass. It wasn't clear exactly what it was, and I had further tests, and then it was diagnosed with the biopsy, diagnosed as being cancer. As far as the cause, practically every week you read another cause of cancer, so
mm-hmm.
you can think of all kinds of things it could be. But if I had to attribute it to one thing that I think was the tipping point prior to getting cancer a few years earlier, I had, at the insistence of my gynecologist, been on hormone replacement therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a big believer in that. He had done a lot, worked at the University of Minnesota, and they did a lot of studies, and he was really thought it just was the be-all and end-all
mm-hmm.
for everything. Of course, everything he believed was all later disproved, but at that time, he really convinced me that it was the thing to do. And And since my cancer was estrogen-sensitive breast cancer, I really do think that that was the thing that took it over the top.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what was your prognosis at that time?
It was non-invasive but highly aggressive breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And a few cells had gotten into the lymph nodes, but basically it had been contained in the left breast, in the milk ducts of the left breast.
Mm-hmm. So they didn't give you a 6 month or 1 year, anything like that?
No, I was caught at a very early stage.
Mm-hmm. That was good.
I was very fortunate.
Right. And what was your treatment then, Linda?
Well, it started off with, it was going to be a lumpectomy, which I had, and they couldn't get clean margins, and so I had to almost immediately, within 2 or 3 weeks after the first surgery, have a second lumpectomy,
mm-hmm.
and there still wasn't clean margins, and so then I had to have a mastectomy.
Mm-hmm.
And then later in the year, I had reconstruction surgery.
Mm-hmm. Now, you did some other things along with this.
Yes, this is the part that I think is just invaluable, at least it was for me.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, I went to Dr. David Liu. He's here in Minneapolis, and he's a Chinese medical doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And he did acupuncture and pre- and post-surgery treatments with Chinese herbs to help to build up my immune system. I had to have these four surgeries in 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, as you can imagine, tremendously grueling and taxing on my body.
Mm-hmm.
But the things that he did, I would go in before the surgery each time and after the surgery and take the herbs in between. And this just helped me tremendously to be able to get through all of those operations.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what herbs he used?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But one of the things that I really loved about him and continue to love about him is that he's a third-generation Chinese medical doctor. He was trained by his father, of course, and then also trained in China. And I would always ask him, you know, tell me more about your training. And he would say that in China they were trained in both Eastern and Western medical traditions.
Oh.
And it wasn't separated like it is here, and that they worked together. And so I was bringing in all of my medical tests and the things that I was getting from the doctors, the Western doctors, and he would read them and he would explain everything to me.
Oh.
And so it was really wonderful because he could look at it and it helped him also in figuring out exactly what herbs to give me and how to help with the acupuncture.
Mm-hmm. Now, you also did some other mental, spiritual activities?
Yes, I did a lot. One thing that I did that was so helpful was I formed what I called my circle of friends, a circle of angels, I called them.
Mm-hmm.
And this was people, I just went through my email address book and my regular address book, and I found people that I had met over the years. I'd done a lot of traveling and knew a lot of people, and the people that I felt kind of close to or maybe that I drifted away from. And I wrote them a letter, and I told them what was happening, and they all wrote back, and they became my circle, my support circle.
Mm-hmm.
It was just wonderful because having to go through so much in such a short space of time, those letters and phone calls and well wishes and teddy bears and soup after surgery and everything else that they did was a tremendous support for me.
Mm-hmm.
Also, in my spiritual life, there's a very beautiful ancient name for God called Hu, H-U, and I would sing that every day and contemplate and bring myself into this quiet, reflective space where I could reflect on and try to sort through what was happening. When you have cancer and you go the Western medical route, things are happening so fast and you get so much conflicting information.
Right.
That if you don't have if you don't take the time and the space to let yourself reflect and bring yourself to a higher spiritual perspective of it, it's really hard to sort it all out.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you do prayer, meditation, affirmations, visualization?
Well, when I sing to you, it's also, that's a prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a way to elevate yourself spiritually. I think of it like a spiritual vitamin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then when I go into quiet contemplation, I really am able to go into sort of a mountaintop perspective,
mm-hmm.
where I can see more of the bigger picture of things,
mm-hmm.
and I don't get so caught up in the details and don't get so frightened by what's happening to me right then.
Right, right. Now, did you go on a special diet?
You know, like a lot of people who get the cancer diagnosis right away, you start looking at your diet, and
mm-hmm.
And I did. I you know, was really doing some very clean living
mm-hmm.
after that, and trying to think about everything. I had mostly been vegetarian, somewhat. I
mm-hmm.
kind of went back and forth, but mostly vegetarian,
mm-hmm.
and so I really got much more careful about that and about
mm-hmm.
the eating organic foods and
right.
being much more careful about what I was putting into my body.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And how long now has it been since you had your treatment, Linda?
It's been 7 years. And
that's good.
I had my most recent mammogram, everything was clear.
Mm-hmm.
And I continued to see Dr. Lou,
uh-huh,
Dr. David
great.
Lou, and have the acupuncture treatments and,
mm-hmm.
and massage and things like that that really help to keep my immune system
mm-hmm.
in good shape.
Mm-hmm. So you continue most of the things that you were doing before?
Well, actually, my diet is even better now than it was before.
Yeah.
I've, over the years, gotten even more careful about what I'm eating.
Mm-hmm. And Linda, what are some final words then you'd like to say with the listeners?
Well, I was able to go on with my life because of all of the help that I got. I did want to mention Dr. David Liu's website so people can
mm-hmm.
take a look at that in case they want to get
mm-hmm.
in touch with him. It's www.drdavidlu.com,
mm-hmm.
drdavidlu.com. And I would just really say take a look at this whole idea of the Chinese medical doctors who are well-trained in that form of medicine
mm-hmm.
and know that they can work hand-in-hand with the Western treatment, and it doesn't have to be either-or.
Now, is he an MD or a naturopath?
He's a medical doctor. He's,
oh.
Like I said, he was trained in China in both Western and Eastern medicine.
Mm-hmm. Oh, because I find some of the naturopaths also do a lot with herbs, and of course, there aren't too many people that do the acupuncture.
Mm-hmm. Well, acupuncture, I think, has been very helpful for me.
Mm-hmm. Now, Linda, would you like to talk about your books and your products and how the listeners can reach you?
Yes. My husband and I write a series of books about the benefits of human-animal companionship. And it's the Angel Animals series.
Mm-hmm.
And we're actually working on our 13th book right now. They're published
oh.
by New World Library.
Mm-hmm.
And these are books that many of them are collections of stories from all over the world about people who have had just incredible, amazing experiences with animals in their lives and how animals have helped them to become better human beings. Quite a few stories of people with cancer and how much the animals have helped them through that.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And our website is www.angelanimals.net. That's plural, angelanimals.net.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate your being with me today, Linda, and I know that this will be helpful information to the listeners.
Thank you.
My third guest is Lauren Miller, who was diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer 3 years ago and given a 50% chance of survival. She is an energy healer, inspirational speaker, and author, and has a baccalaureate degree in journalism. She gives readers hope and encouragement with her book, Hearing His Whisper, which takes the reader on her spiritual journey as she experienced pain and loss. More information is available at www.laurenmiller.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Lauren, and I look forward to an interesting discussion about your cancer.
Thank you, Carl. I do too.
First, Lauren, tell me how you found out that you had cancer and what you think caused it.
I found out January 10th, 2006. I got a phone call. I had a biopsy done. I actually found a lump myself. I found a golf ball-sized lump
mm-hmm.
at 38 years old underneath my left arm, and a couple more lumps on my left side, my left breast. And I went in and got a biopsy and received the phone call, that the dreaded phone call, are you sitting down? Lauren, you have cancer, invasive ductal carcinoma, grade 3. It spread through your lymphs, and as far as we can tell, and they started to lay out what my next couple of years would look like. What I think caused it, especially now with the work that I do, the emotional blocks, the lack of forgiveness, the lack of release, lack of self-love and acceptance, the perfect storm. It was 1 week prior to my final divorce court date, and it was the perfect storm at that time, and all with an emotional connection, the emotional connection and disconnection that happened throughout the years. And basically, in my journal, I journaled a year before that, that I felt that I was slowly dying inside. And I was right. So it was an incredible opportunity for me to choose life and love and to reconnect to the parts of me that I forgot because of pain in life, because of trauma, because of moments of false beliefs, of what other people told me that I believed were true. So it was an incredible journey within. As my counselor at that time said, you're going to learn how to be real, truly real. And it happened, Carl. And I'm more connected and freer within than ever before in my life. But I'll tell you what, I'm a second-degree black belt, and there were some moments when I just let it rip.
Well, that's great.
Part of being real.
And what was your diagnosis and prognosis then, Lauren?
They were telling me at the time that I had a 50% chance. It was in over 7 out of 12 lymphs that they had tested, and in 4 other quadrants or areas on my left side. At the time, I have 3 children, 3 young children. So I remember saying to myself and before God that I would be open to anything and everything that came into my life from that point on, and look at it as an opportunity for healing and restoration. And it was amazing when I had that intention every day. I find restoration and healing easily and consistently every single day of my life. And things just started showing up. People started calling. I did traditional as well as alternative. You know, looking back, Carl, I think if it was just me and I didn't have my children, I probably would have just done alternative.
Yeah.
But because I had those three little faces looking at me, Mommy, are you going to die? I did everything.
That
so
makes
I did the 16 chemos, the double mastectomy, the 6 weeks of daily radiation, 11 surgeries, 1 year of Perceptin infusions, all of it. In addition to that which came into my life that was that I still do, actually, the drinking of the aloe vera 3 times a day, the cellular defense, which is volcanic ash, complete negative ionization, removing all metals and toxins, kombucha, which somebody brought into my life, along with daily meditations. And my second book is The Mantras for the Mastectomies of Life, and there's 121 mantras that I said and continue to say daily. So aligning myself with God within me, and gratitude, truly, is keeping me within this incredible place of healing and strength. In spite of what they've told me.
So you did use a holistic approach that included physical, mental, spiritual.
Absolutely.
Now, did you visualize?
I visualized out the yin yang.
Oh, did you?
I'm such a visual person, Carl, that I just use that gift that God has woven within all of us as human beings. And it's an incredibly powerful gift because it has the ability to unleash a reaction down to the cellular level. And I experienced that with all of the treatment that I went through profoundly. And I remember after several chemos and every cell in my body felt like it was screaming to get out, I remember visualizing myself, and Ireland is one of my favorite places, although I haven't been there, just the pictures I've seen of it. I would picture myself on these rolling hills in Ireland with long flowing hair in a white dress and dancing. And it was a crazy experience. I remember saying out loud one time, this is a wild experience because my body was racked with pain, but yet it didn't affect me, my authentic self, because I was in this incredible place of beauty, visually speaking. And as a result, I practiced Taekwondo through the all the 16 chemos, the radiation, the mastectomy. I continually exercised and regained my energy very quickly as a result of that. So it was an incredible gift.
Right.
As well as guiding the chemo and the traditional means of treatment, I would imagine, and many people have said this, but little Pac-Man going and eating the cancer. And I would also say a mantra while stimulating my energy points, even though they are pumping my system full of this poison, I choose life and restoration and give it permission to go to those areas to completely heal and restore what needs to be restored and to pass through that which I don't need. And by visualizing that and speaking, the spoken word has such incredible power and energy to it. My body restored incredibly quickly.
Now, did you alter your diet and did you take supplements?
You know, at the time the cancer hit, I had my own business called Faith and Fitness, and I was training women in the areas of health and nutrition and inner balance and restoration and healing and all of those good things when the cancer hit. The big piece I was leaving out was the emotional aspect, how important that is in my own journey. However, I've always eaten pretty good. I think what I have done, Carl, is definitely move away from some of the things like the red meat and, and choosing the fish and lots of green vegetables, lots of green. In fact, I even take chlorophyll every day. And I had a medicine man from Peru actually say, you need to be taking chlorophyll. So that was another message that I got. So I take that daily, as well as a shake that I made up that has tons of antioxidants and tastes great. So I have at least one or two of those a day. That I believe is definitely a huge, huge part of my ability to maintain this incredible health and energy and inspiration inside. So,
now, my diet was 75% raw fruit and vegetables, some cooked vegetables.
That's so healthy, Carl.
But no meat, no dairy.
Yeah, I've cut out dairy. That's the one thing I have cut out. Yep, all dairy. I did have dairy before and no longer, and sugar, of course.
Right.
The sugar, the dairy. But, you know, Carl, I have to say, I really feel that making those healthy choices in conjunction with loving and accepting all that I am, just as I am, is an incredible recipe for inner freedom and restoration. I remember one time I was bald and breastless, and I remember, and I had long brown hair and had definitely attached some of my identity to that at the time. And I remember seeing myself for the first time, looking in the mirror. I remember getting really close, and I didn't even realize that my eyes were as green as they are. And I remember looking into the mirror and feeling as if, for the first time, I had the opportunity to love and accept me. Not because of my hair, not because of my breasts or anything on my physical body, but because I'm a beautiful creation of God. Created to experience love and grow in the ways of love every day. And that was a profound moment. And to be honest with you, Carl, I see that image every day.
Right.
I carry that within me along with, there's this little voice that comes with it. Remember who you are. And I haven't forgotten that.
And how long, Lauren, has it been since you had your treatment?
I have been in remission, declared in remission as of last July. However, my last treatment was about 2.5 years ago. It's interesting because I remember walking in after the 16 chemos to my daily radiation treatments. That was the next phase. And I had this incredible mop of hair on my head. It was about 2 or 3 inches long at that point. And my radiologist said, is that a wig? And I said, no. And my hair started growing back. I really started entering into the energy aspect of the healing after I lost my hair, and it started growing back. And it started falling out halfway through my 12 rounds of chemo, and then I, again, refocused, imagined, thank God for my hair, for my growth, for my healing, started growing again. And she said, in all of my 20 years, I have yet to see a patient walk through this door with hair on their head. And she said, what are you doing? So in the short period of time as I was getting my tattoos for the radiation, I tried to share with her as much as possible the importance of inner love and acceptance and belief. Like I mentioned earlier, the proactive prayers, not please give me hair, please give me hair, but thank you, God, for my ability to rejuvenate, to grow hair, to return to a place of wholeness and health down to the cellular level.
Right.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
This is incredible.
Mm-hmm. Now, Lauren, would you like to tell us about your books and any products you have and how the listeners can reach you?
Sure, Carl, thanks. I actually, on my website, which is www.laurenemiller.com, laurenemiller.com, has all the information on there, as well as a lot of incredible feedback from some amazing people around the world. I transformed my business to now a stress relief expert, and I've gotten some incredible feedback from some amazing individuals around the United States as well as Canada. My clients are all around the United States and Canada, and I meet and empower individuals as well as in workshops and groups that I speak to really truly take back your ability to heal,
mm-hmm.
including many different stress relief techniques that I've been studying since 16 and are used all around the world and through the centuries. And my first book is available. It was released in January, is Hearing His Whisper, A Journey Through Cancer and Divorce. And it's my journal. I had a stack of 10 journals. There's four different before, during, and after, three different sections of that book.
Mm-hmm.
And during the during section, you can start to see this incredible transformation
mm-hmm.
as I start to truly apply that which I was preaching
right.
for many years. And that's my first book, and that's available at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, all of the major bookstores, and the links are on my website, LaurenEMiller.com. My second book, Mantras for the Mastectomies of Life, will follow as soon as possible. It's complete. I'm just collecting the endorsements and getting it all set to
mm-hmm.
to be published.
Good. Well, thank you very much, Lauren. I appreciate your taking the time to talk with me today.
Well, thank you, Carl. I appreciate this opportunity.
Thank you. My last guest is Heather Jose, who was diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer 10 years ago and is now active and well and working with health care providers and survivors. She is author of Letters to Sydney, Every Day I'm Killing Cancer, and a contributing author for the breast cancer wellness magazine Health, and has a blog at www.gobeyondtreatment.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, and I look forward to an interesting discussion, Heather.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Thank you. First, tell me how you found out that you had cancer and what you think caused it.
Well, I found out that I had cancer at a doctor's appointment. It was kind of a routine checkup.
Mm-hmm.
It was with my family doctor, and she was the one who had delivered my daughter,
mm-hmm.
who was 14 months old when I found out about the cancer. My cancer was definitely hormone receptive. So as far as what caused it, I don't really know what caused it, but I know that it was definitely fueled through the pregnancy and breastfeeding.
Mm-hmm. And do you think that there was anything going on in your own life beyond the physical realm that might have had a part in it?
Not necessarily. I mean, I don't know what was happening. I
mm-hmm.
thought that life was just pretty normal at that point. You know,
mm-hmm.
my husband and I were just, we'd been married for a couple of years and just settling down into life, I thought. At
mm-hmm.
that.
Good.
You know.
And what was the diagnosis and prognosis that the doctor gave you?
Well, I was 26 years old when I found out that I had cancer, and the diagnosis was stage 4 breast cancer with multiple bone mets.
Mm-hmm.
And the prognosis was initially to get my affairs in order. That's what the first doctor told me. So obviously the prognosis was not real good at that point.
Mm-hmm. And how long ago was that, Heather?
That's been over 10 years now. So.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And what treatment did you have for breast cancer?
Well, I've done a lot of different treatment, but I started out with doing conventional treatment, chemotherapy, double stem cell transplant, a double mastectomy, and radiation.
Mm-hmm.
But I also, from the first weekend that I found out about the cancer, began making changes to my diet using visualization and prayer and exercise. And my motto has really always been, you know, every day I'm killing cancer. And I know that I have the ability to fight cancer within my own body,
mm-hmm.
as well as, you know, using more conventional methods. So.
Mm-hmm. What type of a diet did you take?
Well, I switched. I actually worked with a Black Medical Center in Evanston, Illinois, and I switched to a dairy-free, hormone-free diet. So I wasn't using, you know, dairy or meat. I was eating fish and whole grains and lots of fruits and vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
Really just focusing on, you know, really building the immune system and not feeding the cancer. So, and, you know, that would include also parting ways with sugar, which I have to admit that I love, you know. So just really a healthy diet.
That was generous for you, because when I had lung cancer 33 years ago, my diet was 75% raw fruit and vegetables, some other cooked vegetables, no protein, no dairy, no carbohydrate, and I had grains and some nuts, but I couldn't have peanuts. So it was pretty much restricted fruit, vegetables, some grains, and peanuts. I mean, and nuts with no peanuts. So
that takes a lot of dedication.
Yes, it did, but that was 33 years ago.
But that's what I tell other people too when they, you know, they say to me, well, how could you give up this or that? I'm like, you know, when you're looking at giving up your life, it's really not that big of a sacrifice, you know?
Right.
I felt great. So, and I know it made a huge difference in how I felt going through treatment.
Right. Now, Heather, what things do you do now? Do you continue the regime pretty much?
Yeah, for sure. With stage 4 cancer, with bone mets, I mean, the goal is to remain stable. So I still feel that I have to continue every day, and I'm fine with that. I know that it's been a good thing in many ways. So,
You still do the visualization?
I wouldn't say as much, but I still definitely understand it, and I definitely spend a lot of time making sure that negative things don't become bigger,
right?
If that makes sense.
Right.
You know, I believe in turning negative into positive, and if that's an ache in my body, or if that's, you know, just, I don't know, the people that you're encountering, I know that that's really up to me to change that around. And I know that negativity within is not a great thing for a healing environment. So.
Right. Now, is prayer a part of your regime?
Absolutely.
And do you meditate?
You know, I've never done a ton of meditation. It's something that I always strive to do, to be better at, but it's not, you know, it's always been a little bit difficult.
What advice would you have for other women that are just being diagnosed with breast cancer?
Well, I just try to encourage women to really take an active role and to let them know that they can make a difference. And it doesn't matter the stage. You can make a difference in how your body responds. And I kind of ask women to be the captain of their wellness team, and to just feel empowered to take part and to lead others, I guess, into wellness.
Right. And is there anything else then you would like to say to people that have cancer or are at the beginning stages or are discouraged and don't know where to turn?
Well, I guess I would just say that, you know, it only takes one positive step in a day. So if that means that you ate something that was good for you, then build on that, you know, and go forward. And same kind of thing, if you're going to have something that seems negative and you can kind of say, you know what, I'm not going to dwell on that, that's going to be a building block to go forward and move towards wellness. And we have control over a lot of things, whether or not we choose to exert that control, I guess.
Right.
So.
Right. Now, Heather, would you like to tell us about your book and the activities you're into and how the listeners can reach you?
Sure. The best way to reach me is through my website, which is gobeyondtreatment.com, because I believe that we all have a role to play, you know, on a daily basis. And my book is called Letters to Sydney. Sydney is my daughter, who's now 11 and a half, but like I said, she was only just over a year when I was diagnosed. Letters to Sydney, Every Day I'm Killing Cancer, and it really chronicles my journey in that first year, and I've been told that it's inspirational. I was really looking for something. I wrote it because I was having trouble finding something that was uplifting
mm-hmm.
when I was diagnosed. So besides my book, I write for various magazines, including the Breast Cancer Wellness Magazine, and
mm-hmm.
and spend some time speaking as well to survivors and healthcare providers
mm-hmm.
primarily. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, sounds real great, and it's fantastic that you're 10 years now.
Yes.
Are you in a support group also?
I've never been a big support group person.
No.
I blog, and I believe in kind of putting together a support group that works for you, and for
mm-hmm.
me that was really my friends and family. You know, but I think some of that is because of my age and where I live. I live in a pretty rural area, so...
Oh. Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate this very much, Heather. I know that your schedule is busy and that you took some time to be with us, and I appreciate it very much.
Well, thank you for having me. It's great.
Thank you.
All right.
I thank you for joining me this evening on the Holistic Health Show on BBS Radio. I am Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host, wishing you a good evening.